this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Welcome back, Bob. Great to have you.
Yeah, Doug, great trip to Arizona. Had a science field trip with two of the kids, plus a hockey tournament.
No hockey fights?
No, I don't think there were any fights. We came back with three wins, one goal.
All right.
Fabulous, productive meeting with the world's greatest scientist, Dr. Walt Brown.
Wow.
Yeah, and my sons and I took a tour in Tucson of that Biosphere 2.
Oh, yeah.
Remember where the eight people sealed themselves hermetically into this?
And they're still down there. They're still in
It'd
there.
It'd be their corpses because they were supposed to stay there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like 91 and 94. They lasted a couple years.
Uh-oh.
Then they had to let oxygen in. They were all getting very skinny. But we did learn a lot from that, and I got some background information for a future Real Science Radio show.
Fantastic.
All right, so Doug, what happened while I was gone? A lot happened.
Well, today is the 40th anniversary, the actual anniversary of the day the opinion,
yeah,
the Roe versus Wade opinion came down.
Yeah, and so today in Colorado, you know, a couple days ago was the Colorado Right to Life March.
That's right.
And it was a strong turnout. Capitol Police officers said he estimated 1,200, but of course dozens of people coming and going. Probably 1,500 people there.
You know, I think that's the highest turnout for the March for Life in several years.
Yeah, and it shows it's encouraging because the personhood battle marches on.
That's right.
Today is the exact anniversary, 40 years later, and so there was a quiet prayer vigil on the west steps of the Capitol here in Denver.
Amen.
And I was there, run by Colorado Right to Life, and very somber time. But, Doug, there's a lot to talk about, and also we should update our biblically correct NFL football picks.
I couldn't do it yesterday. I couldn't get my head around it. Now that you're back in the studio.
We'll have to do that.
Yeah,
what else? We've got Obama, the second coming.
The second coming of Obama.
The inauguration.
If we have time, we can talk about the sheriffs across the country who are beginning to sign up to say they won't support his gun control. I want to talk about that if we have time.
Yeah.
And then I want to remind you, Bob.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Roe versus Wade decision came down just 2 days before the second inaugural of Richard M. Nixon?
2 days after. He was inaugurated on January 20th.
On January 20th.
All right. So
it came down 2 days after.
2 days after Nixon was inaugurated?
Nixon was inaugurated.
And Doug, if you recall, I don't know if you recall, how old were you?
In 1973? I was four.
Right, you were 4 years old.
January. Yeah.
You were always up on the news. You might remember.
One of the earliest memories I have, this is no joke,
yeah,
is my dad pointing to the TV and saying, the president is resigning.
Wow.
That's one of the earliest memories I have.
Yeah. I remember JFK's assassination because the cartoons were off for an entire week.
Wow.
There were no cartoons.
Really?
I was born in 59, so I was a little kid.
Well, I think when Nixon resigned, they had celebrations on all the media.
Yeah, they added cartoons.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Doug, here's what Richard Nixon said, and we have this because of the Nixon tapes that are now available.
Right.
I've been listening to them in the background here. Richard Nixon said, look, this is the day after the Roe v. Wade opinion was handed down. He said, look, I know that abortion is necessary when you have a black and a white,
yeah,
for example, interracial,
yeah,
pregnancies. So he's a racist. He was a typical, you know, Republican pro-abort in that the Supreme Court that gave us Roe v. Wade was a majority Republican court.
That's right.
And Harry Blackmun, who wrote the Roe v. Wade decision, was a Republican justice.
He was.
And it's been a Republican court the entire time until this day.
Yeah.
Where they have upheld. I remember back about, 2005, there was an inmate, I think in Missouri, who was going to get an abortion. It was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it was a unanimous decision. They all said, let her have an abortion.
That's right. And that
all
was
of them.
2005. So you're including, yeah, let's see, 05, Clarence Thomas was there.
Yeah. That's
everyone except John Roberts, all the Republicans.
Well, in John Roberts, you know, he's radically pro-homosexual agenda, the radical homosexual agenda.
Well, yeah.
And Samuel Alito is a pro-abort. Clarence Thomas is a pro-abort. The whole, you know, it's a mess.
So how are the Republicans going to end abortion if they're all the ones who
right.
did it?
So we were told for 20 years by National Right to Life, we just need another judge.
That's it. We just need to switch the balance of the court ever so slightly.
Right. And we figured that out, that if we did get one pro-life judge, we'd have
one out of nine.
We'd have one. We'd have one.
One out of nine.
That'd be a start.
That would be, yeah.
It just wouldn't be the victory that they led people to believe.
Yeah.
So, but I'm thrilled that Colorado Right to Life's march was such a success.
Yeah, that's great.
And
news.
Then they marched right down Colfax, and just a great time was had by all.
Well, it's been 40 years and 55 million children killed since this opinion was... Mm-hmm. was handed down on high from the Republican judges.
That's all right.
Sad.
So, Oh, and by the way, with this being the 40th anniversary,
yes,
we have a special label documentary, and
okay.
I was involved in the production of this. You remember the Focus on the Strategy.
Absolutely.
Right. Documentary.
Yes.
Supporting personhood, really helping to give traction to the personhood movement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a special label now of it. 40 years in the wilderness since Roe.
Yeah.
40 years since Roe. So if anybody hasn't seen it, please, if you call Bob and Yurt Live, 800-8-N-YARDS, or go to the website, kgov.com, if you make any donation, buy any of our resources that helps us stay on the air, and we'll give you as a gift 40 years in the wilderness special label for this year.
And that was the beginning of at least the latest iteration of the personhood movement.
Yeah.
And a quick update.
Yes.
State Representative Mike Reynolds in Oklahoma City has filed a fetal personhood bill. The bill states that unborn children have protectable interests in life, health, and well-being.
Mm.
So just like last year in Oklahoma, in Colorado, we'll be doing it again. And then, of course, there has been a federal personhood bill introduced at the federal level as well. So the battle continues.
The battle continues, and it is the battle. If you don't have a right to life, then all the other rights are nonsensical.
Well, that's what so now that's a segue into this story. I read two articles this morning.
Mm.
Sheriffs in Texas and Missouri have signed letters addressed to President Obama that they will not enforce laws that they feel are unconstitutional.
Mm.
So far, about a dozen in Missouri and at least one in Texas have signed letters to the president saying that they will not enforce these unconstitutional laws.
Yeah, well.
And so we're going to be doing some research. I want to find out who these sheriffs are. And I want to find out if there are operating abortion clinics in any of their jurisdictions.
Oh, is any of them in St. Louis? Because there's a horrendous and infamous. All abortion clinics
are infamous.
But there's an especially long reputation one in St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, I will find out because they say about a dozen sheriffs have signed it. But the story just broke and we don't know who they all are yet. But this could signal a national trend of sheriffs who say, we're not going to stand for this.
Yeah, and, you know, there's so many people, millions of people, who will stand up for their own rights.
Oh, yeah.
But who you can't count on to stand up for the rights of others.
Mm.
And, for example, the unborn child. Doug, how much money have you made fighting for the right to life of the unborn child?
None.
And you survived your time in the womb.
I did.
So you're not actually fighting for your own right to life.
No.
And so the personhood movement is where people are killing our neighbors.
Yeah.
And it's more difficult to it's one thing when people are motivated by their own right to keep and bear arms.
Isn't it, though?
And that's fine. That's a good thing.
It's good, yeah.
But the right to life that's the paramount human right.
It is.
And if you don't have the right to bear arms, I mean forearms, that is, when they dismember children in the womb, then all your other rights are gone.
Yeah. So don't be a part of the I got mine crowd just because you have secured your right to life.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to stand up for those whose right to life is threatened every day, single day.
So these sheriffs should also attempt to close down the abortion mills
absolutely
in their counties.
I think we'll find one. I think we're going to find one of these days.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So also we need to see if we could get Leslie Hanks on the air because she is the president of American Right to Life. And Leslie is in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, where, Doug, yes, they are making an effort, States of Refuge, Flip Benham, Operation Save America, to close down the last abortion mill in the state of Mississippi.
Awesome.
That's so awesome. We'll try to get an update from Leslie.
So while we're getting Leslie on the phone, should we go ahead and do our biblically correct football pick?
All right.
Now, I want to remind the audience.
That's more interesting than Obama's inauguration. So go ahead.
Certainly. And it'll go quickly.
Okay.
We've made so far 4 biblically correct football picks.
Yeah. And these are parallel to Rush Limbaugh's environmentally correct.
Yeah. You remember picks. That back when Rush was funny.
Yeah.
Back then. So every team we've picked so far to win has lost.
So we have a perfect record.
We have a perfect record, and we have a tremendous amount of power.
And these are biblically correct picks. And, you know, the world is under the power of, you know.
So it's Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's a fallen world. So it does make sense.
It almost makes sense.
In an oddball way that biblically correct football picks would not come to pass.
I
think there's something, Doug, something that could justify you being stoned to death.
There is?
Not me. I'm the host. You're the guest host.
My prophecies have failed.
No, these are not prophecies.
All right.
But,
So since the only thing we could come up
against. It's all melting.
So the only thing we could come up against, against San Francisco is the fact that it is the bastion of everything wicked and evil and corrupt.
Right.
But I was reminded that
the San Francisco 49ers.
49ers, which means they.
It's their namesake.
18, the gold rush and all of that.
Well, right. Yeah.
Which that digging for gold's not a sin.
No, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, but now their quarterback does have all those annoying tattoos that he likes to show off, but perhaps that's not a sin. I couldn't.
Right.
But the Baltimore Ravens.
So San Francisco 49ers, they represent the city of San Francisco.
Which is evil and wicked and corrupt.
Even if they don't play in San Francisco, it'd be like saying the Sodom and Gomorrah 49ers. It would be like that. I mean,
it's as if they have their stadium in the Castro district.
Like the National Socialist 49ers.
Exactly.
Like there's something. But anyway, so, okay.
But as far as we know, no one on the 49ers team has been credibly accused of murdering anyone.
Oh.
While on the Ravens, Ray Lewis participated in the murder of 2 men in a parking lot. And if he wants to sue me for that, I would love to get Ray Lewis in court.
Well,
so credible accusation of murder that he weaseled his way out of.
All right. So the biblically correct football pick for the Super Bowl.
We have to pick the Niners to win.
The Niners to win. And, you know, with Ray Lewis, there's more news about him, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of news about football players' wives. A lot of football players' wives making the news. Even Tim Tebow's mom was making the news.
She did?
Yeah, raising money to oppose child killing.
But
Doug, as far as Ray Lewis, you know, I know you talked about that on the show yesterday.
I went through several of the key facts in the case.
Yeah, and if you're at a bar and a brawl breaks out and 2 guys get killed, you don't flee with the murderers.
Oh, that's true. Lewis testified against those guys later, saying they might have been the killers.
Yeah, you don't flee with the murderers.
Why would you go in? Yeah, why would you let them in your car?
Yeah, and a dead man's blood is found in your car.
Yeah.
And the dead guys, they died days later, right?
No, they were stabbed in the heart.
Oh.
They died at the scene. They died right there in the parking lot.
Right. And how about one of the Patriots' wives?
Wes Welker's wife tweeted. Well, she said, if anyone's bored, go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids by 4 women and acquitted of murder? What a great Hall of Fame player, .. Now, she's already apologized.
Well, we point this out often, right? When people say something true, then expect the apology.
Expect the apology the next morning.
Of any significant event, when they say something true. Mm-hmm. So she actually, I think you edited her, because I think she said 6 children by 4 wives.
Yeah, she might have. This is a paraphrase.
That's a paraphrase.
She said wives because his Wikipedia page says he has 6 children by 4 women, although he's never been married.
So, right. So these are not even his wife. And this is a crisis,
of course,
right? Where men having children by multiple women, unmarried. Just imagine family reunions and all, how complicated.
What a disaster.
Just weddings and everything. Yeah, even the divorces are confusing. So this
is it politically incorrect to bring that up?
That women were not married when they had kids with Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people would say it's not Christian to point that out.
Yeah, that's kind of unchristian.
But Jesus pointed this out. Oh. Remember the Samaritan woman?
The woman at the well.
At the well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And she said, I'm going to go tell my husband. And Jesus said, actually, he's not your husband. And she's like, oh, boy. And he said, in fact, you've had five husbands.
Oh, that's right.
And the guy that you're shacking up with right now, you're not even married to him.
Now, we can't consider that unchristian because Jesus Christ himself said it.
Yeah.
That puts the liberal Christians and liberal theologians in a bit of a bind.
So Ray Lewis, you know, if he's repentant, that's tremendous.
That would be different.
But he should let people know that he's repentant.
Yeah.
That he's sorry for what he did in his lifestyle and that night.
Yeah, he should confess.
Disappearing his suit.
Yeah, what happened to that suit? Big white suit. Hard to lose a white suit.
Yeah.
He lost it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the phones.
Okay, Niners to win. Let's go to line 7. Leslie, speak your
mind. Leslie Hanks, president of American Right to Life in Jackson, Mississippi. Leslie, let us know what's going on with the States of Refuge tour there.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Great, Leslie.
Thank you. So,
Leslie. You guys talking about the Roe v. Wade decision anniversary being today?
Yeah, we sure did. And a great tragedy. We know that you're there fighting with Flip Benham and quite a team to close down the last abortion clinic in the state of Mississippi.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Yeah, we had about 70 people from all over the country, and quite a few of them said to tell you hi, Bob.
Well, that's encouraging, Leslie. Thanks.
Yeah. So, and the interesting thing to me is that, you know, both sides of this horrendous issue put out a national call for people to come and spar over this last bit of turf, if you will, the last place where kids are being killed in Mississippi. And interestingly enough, the pro-abortion side, boy, a lot of times they only had about 4 or 5 people out front. The most I ever did see was 15.
Wow. All right. So, well, that is encouraging. And Leslie, the RH Reality Check, they published news about the abortion battle. And boy, what an interesting angle they had from Mississippi. They reported that people who are pro-abortion are basically keeping their mouths shut because they're afraid of a social backlash.
Amen.
They're saying that they can't really even be public about it anymore, so I was very encouraged about that.
Yeah, that reminds me of late-term abortionist Warren Hearn up in Boulder being interviewed, I think, by the LA Times, and he said, look, even in my own profession, I'm shunned. Another doctor in Boulder called me to go golfing Friday afternoon late, and I said, no, I can't, I'm working. He said, it's Friday afternoon. You're still killing kids? That's what the doctor said to his friend, the abortionist Warren Hearn.
Mm.
And
Hearn
related that story. So even within the medical community, right, people know, even if many a word spoken in jest, people know. They're talking about killing kids.
Yep, that's right. And this article says there isn't anyone out here who can support the clinic publicly without facing some sort of personal repercussions.
Praise the Lord.
I posted that on Facebook and said, no child killing with tranquility, which, of course, Bob, is a phrase I believe you coined. And so we've
said it
trying
a thousand
to put that
times.
Into effect here in Mississippi.
No child killing with tranquility. Social tension is what stopped slavery.
That's right.
And it's social tension that will end child killing eventually. So, hey, Leslie, the Denver Post picked up on the Colorado Right to Life press release for the march.
Oh, good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was funny. There was a line in there, maybe a couple lines, to provoke the Denver Post specifically. And sure enough, one of those lines got into the Denver Post report.
Okay.
And it was a good report by the Denver Post, you know, letting people know what had happened at the march with speakers from Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, a whole list of groups and organizations and leaders photos, and they pointed out that that the Colorado Right to Life press release says that the media, the Colorado media, despises those who advocate for the right to life of every innocent child, no matter how small.
That got their attention.
Yeah.
That's right. I actually thought that was the only sentence in the article that had any substance. It was the most pathetic attempt at journalism I've ever seen. They said that they couldn't find any of the people that attended the march to give a comment.
Yeah, they said none of the none of the marchers would comment. There's like 1,200. And I never have known a pro-lifer who doesn't talk when you ask him a
no
question.
Kidding.
No, like every 50th one might be a little shy, but yeah, right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And they said about 200 men, women, and children gathered.
Oh, come on.
Which is hysterical. But that's the way it is, right? When it's a pro-abort event, they multiply the turnout by about 10.
Yeah.
And when it's a pro-life event, they divide it by 5. Mm.
So we should be used to all this by now.
Yeah. And there was an event in Colorado, in Denver, where the Denver Post reported that it was mostly women. And I'm sorry, that they reported that it was mostly men. Doug, we actually had a sign-up sheet at that event.
Oh,
it was almost all women.
It usually is.
It's just hysterical.
Attended by women.
Yeah. So their fingers, they let their fingers do the thinking, and they just type these cliches just pop out.
Mm.
All right. Thank you very much, Leslie.
Give them heaven, Leslie.
Yeah. Hey, we did a fun protest at the King Edward Hotel where the abortionist Bruce Norman stays, and we brought all the pictures out and Pat leafleted
oh, wow.
the street. And
wow.
So, that increasing social tension works, I'll tell you.
All right.
Hey,
amen.
Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you. God bless you. Leslie Hanks,
God
president of American Right to Life.
She's out there on the front lines today on the yeah. anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. So, Doug, awesome. Also it is, as Newsweek put it, and their website.
Newsweek?
They have a website now.
I think that's all they have now.
They used to
have
a magazine.
Right?
You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of folks.
Certainly not.
All the newspapers in the country that are circulation dwindling.
Yeah.
And their finances. But it's Obama's second coming.
The second coming. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh today was lamenting that Democrats won again.
He lamented that, eh?
Yeah. He's mm-hmm. been lamenting for years now.
Yeah, I think.
And yeah. he asked, why did we lose? And he answered the question correctly.
Yeah.
He said, we didn't turn out the base.
Exactly, Rush.
Right. But then why, Rush?
Oh, and he didn't
know
go
what?
On to point out why?
Well, it's his fault as much as anyone's.
Yeah.
It's Rush Limbaugh's fault. You know, when you speak to, what, more than 15 million people a week?
Yeah, 20
listen
million,
to him,
yeah.
You obviously, with that influence, you earn yourself credit or blame.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that many people that you're influencing yeah. without credit or blame.
The principle like, of to whom much is given, much shall
much
be
is
required.
Required,
yeah, yeah.
right. And Rush is on, I don't know how many radio stations, 600?
660-something.
We're on one station.
But it is the mighty blowtorch of the gospel, the 50,000-watt KLTT.
Yeah. K-Light.
And right.
But, Doug, we have been attempting to influence for 20 years the same message mm-hmm. that there is a God. He created us, the God-given right to life. We have to advocate for that right to be enforced for every child, no matter how small. And so over time, you make a difference. There's an actual battle.
Yeah.
But Rush, he ends up supporting president.
He's done that several times.
As long as the guy has an R after his name.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh.
And so you discourage your base. Of course the base. He said the base didn't turn out.
Why should we, Rush? Can I remind you of something that Rush said after the election debacle of 2006? You remember yeah. the midterms?
Yeah.
When the Republicans lost the House, they were decimated, right?
Right, right, right.
And Rush yeah. Limbaugh said, I no longer am going to have to carry the water for people who I don't think deserve having their water carried. That's what he was threatening to stop carrying
yeah.
the Republicans' water.
Yeah, and here, in all these years later...
He's right. like Aquaman of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
He's still carrying yeah. water.
Right. And so, you know, it's easy to criticize your team before they make the playoffs mm-hmm. and after they lose. But I think
that's true. Yeah.
You know, but I do think you were faithful regarding the Tebow curse. On
oh,
the
I've been faithful to my
through the whole season.
I banished the Broncos from my heart and mind and soul. And yeah. I I've criticized them staunchly through the 11-game winning streak, right up to when they lost in the same round as Tim Tebow.
Well, the Broncos have not won a playoff game in 8 years.
No, they actually won one at home. It was
except for Tebow.
Except for Tebow. That's right. I jumped over my coffee table. That was, I still have that on TiVo, my DVR.
Yeah, that's fun. But anyway, we digress.
Yes,
it's easy to criticize your team before the playoffs or after they lose.
Yeah.
But what Rush does is he'll complain, whine, gripe about the Republicans who are socialist, tax and spend, pro-abort, pro-radical homosexual, all
he,
that.
He does that.
Yeah, he gripes a lot, but they could count on him, right?
When it comes time when the water really needs to be carried.
To carry the water for these Democrats like John McCain and Mitt Romney and others.
Bob Dole.
He does it for them.
Yes, he does.
And so that's why, Rush, you can't motivate the base. I mean, it's either by negatives or positives. So negatives against the opponent.
Mm.
Well, Barack Obama probably had the biggest negatives for Republican conservative pro-lifers.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the conservatives.
So you're not going to get an opponent, a Democratic candidate, with higher negatives among your base.
No, it's not.
Than Barack Obama.
Not unless they raise Stalin from the dead and run him against the next.
So then you've got the positives of your guys being excited about the Republican candidate.
Which you need that.
You need that. Absolutely. Otherwise, 3 million of your own base are going to stay home. 3 million.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose. Hmm. And so as long as Rush will support candidates who are willing to kill a single innocent child, he's going to discourage the base and hand the future of the country continually to the Democrats.
Yeah. And conservatives need to remember that listening to conservative talk radio is
rot your brain.
It's not the same thing as actually doing something conservative. It doesn't qualify.
And it's not the same as reading the Bible, knowing God's word. People think watching Fox and then God is happy with them.
That's what they think.
No. God, you know, St. Peter, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody dies and St. Peter says, well, why should God let you in?
Yeah.
And they say, well, I watched Fox.
Watched O'Reilly religiously every night.
That's not going to cut
it. It's not going to happen. Reading the Bible is doing something because while you don't have to do anything to be saved, you may find yourself doing amazing things once you get
and
saved.
And Doug in St. Peter, he said, and by the way, O'Reilly's not even here. It's funny until somebody gets hurt.
Oh, really?
Then it's hysterical. We're out of time. God bless you, Doug. KGov.com.